Today we're going to look back at the God's Feast of Tabernacles, at other ways and other items. And this is basically going to be a two-part sermon. And I'm just going to cover certain points today, and I'm going to continue with it. The negative I'm going to give this sermon, and the positive I'm going to give the next sermon, because the title of the sermon is Comparing God's World Tomorrow with Our Present World. And that's the point. You're looking at what is going to be totally different that we see every day today that we are not going to see in the world tomorrow. And that's the point. As we go through this, I'm going to give the negative this sermon and talk about the positive in so many ways it's going to take place in the next sermon. So with that statement made, bear with me this sermon and we'll go through that situation. Comparing God's world with our present world. Let's turn to Isaiah 5. I want to pick up on that. Isaiah 5. And Isaiah 5 briefs us and tells us something that we see going on every day. And basically, we'll go through this and you'll understand what I'm saying. Isaiah 5, verse number 18. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin as it were a cart rope. That say, let him make speed and hasten his work that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitterness. Woe unto these individuals. And that's what we see a lot today. And I'll go through that direction exactly what I mean. But we'll see this as we go forward. Verse number 21, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Wisdom, understanding, wisdom comes from God. All these brilliant intellectuals, what they say, how much chatter and talk they have, it really amounts to nothing. No wisdom involved. It doesn't come to fruition. The list goes on as you look through this point. Verse number 22. Woe to them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength that mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. How many scenarios play out in our lives today that actually fall into this point? You know, how many men today are called what they call good is actually evil and place of darkness? In the world tomorrow, it won't be tolerated. And I'll go through some of these points. We get it right into this. But point number one, how many times are we in a scenario where it's absolutely contrary to God's laws and that we actually participate in today? I'm not saying participate yourselves. I'm saying that it's just nonchalant. That's the way it is. We go through the motions. We understand these individuals and their lifestyles, but it won't be tolerated in the world tomorrow. And that's the point. And that's where we're going to go in several different facets in the sermon today, as we'll touch on about three or four of them. Let's get right into this. Let's turn to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. How many call good? It's actually evil. It's not going to be tolerated. It's actually called abomination to God. He hates it. We'll read it later, but he actually hates it. This isn't going to be the scenario we see in the world tomorrow. And that's far a 180-degree turn from what we're living today. And we're to live with it. And the righteous you're trying to live a righteous life, and these people are calling it good, some of these things that are sent forward. How many times are we vexed in spirit today because of what is going on around the world? We're seeing that God has called evil. Far too many, brethren. Galatians 5, begin verse number 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, which is lewdness. How much lewdness do we see today? Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like, of which I have told you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. How many religions today call it tolerance? Listen to what's being said here directly. They will not inherit. It's not going to go well. And that's the point. Are we judging? This is God's law. I'm just reading from God's word, not everybody else's. I mean, if you read from man's, a lot of justification. And that's the point. So when you break these things down, what's acceptable? Several of these things you mentioned, it could be a whole sermon. Actually, I believe we've given sermons on this before. But you have a situation here, you can give a whole sermon on just one topic. As the Bible very much gets into this, a lot deeper, doesn't it? Let's turn to Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6 in verse number 23. Proverbs 6 in verse number 23. For the commandment, you know what? I'm going to start a little earlier than that. I want to jump up to 16. Proverbs 6 verse 16. And these six things I hate, does the Lord hate. Yea, the seventh is an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, the hands that shed innocent blood, the heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. How pertinent are all those items? You gotta ask yourself the question. Someday, we're going to stand before our Creator. As we stand before Him, how many items that we actually tolerate and let it go, if I can say that terminology, because this world is conducting itself in such a fashion, we were just nonchalant or went along with the program. That's kind of a scary item to mention, but I think it's very apropos. Verse number 23, but the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the ways of life. Keep thee from an evil woman, from flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids, her batting her eyes at you. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom, and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon the hot coals, and his feet not be burned? Asking these questions, this is through God's word directly. If you don't have God's Holy Spirit, it's close to impossible to not rise above flesh. How many people succumb? Is that going to be tolerated in the world tomorrow? Obviously, we understand it's not. These verses really give you a good idea, just how wrong the value system is in the world we live in. It's nothing to lust after an individual or portray a whorish woman and put her on a pedestal in this world, is it? How many people do that today? That's a very sad statement, but it's accurate. Let's take a couple of items that are mentioned in Galatians 5 and ask the question. We're not going to do all of them. I'm just going to hit some of the highlights. And as I said, I mean, you could give a sermon, basically full sermon on each of these topics. But as we go through this, and Galatians 5, let's compare the present world to what we understand the world tomorrow will be like. You know, verse number 21, the concept of murder. Now, how many people murder? It's more prevalent than we think. And you start looking at the numbers. Do people defend and call murder good today? I'm going to give you politicians that call murder good today. You know what I'm getting at. Why doesn't it trouble the world that since Planned Parenthood has started keeping statistics on abortions, there have been over 64 million performed? 64 million. And that's just counted. And they all call it good. You know, I'm going to give you a quote from Bernie Sanders later in the sermon that I'm just amazed. How difficult is it for this world to function and accept God for who he is and understand the world tomorrow? These things are not just going to be not tolerated. They're going to be abominable before him. There's not something that's going to continually plague mankind. Let's turn to Psalms 139, the book of Psalm 139, and verse number 13. Psalms 139 and verse number 13. For thou hast processed, my reins, and thou hast covered me in thy mother's womb. And I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. We're talking, acknowledge this psalmist looking at a situation, David in this case, Psalm of David. This acknowledgement, he knows he's wonderfully made. Think about how perfect that creation was. And he gave you the right to choose. He even gave you the whole human nature, the opportunity to actually be a free moral agent. We do these things to ourselves. That's the amazing part. But from the mother's womb, they were gloriously made, marvelous. And my soul knoweth right to do right well. And my substance was not hid from me when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance. Yet, being unperfect, in thy book all thy members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, yet as there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. Great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. Then I awake, and I am still with thee. How wonderful, basically, were we created? How wonderful that we're actually given the opportunity or the thought, have our own thoughts, and to choose, and to think the difference in the world tomorrow. I'm talking about 64 million abortions from Planned Parenthood in the United States. This is just the United States. It's unimaginable how many individuals in the world that have suffered this fate. That if this isn't shedding innocent blood, there's nothing that could be more innocent than a baby. And that's the point. I'm trying to keep it more somber here, but you're looking at a situation here where this is a reality. They're calling it good. That's the point. How many people call it good? Obviously, I was born, so I'm good, right? Who cares about everybody else? That's a pretty sad and sick commentary on the world we live in. They call it good. Thine eyes to see the substance, yet being unperfect, and all thy members, and in thy book, and all thy members were written, which continuously were fashioned. I'm unperfect, but what I became, I mean, obviously, the embryo that I was in my mother's womb. Think about the difference. Think about how many people allow themselves to just accept the concepts that abortion's part of human right. Jeremiah 1 and verse number 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Think about Jeremiah, how great of an individual this he became. How many scientists are, if you want to go down that road, you ask an evolutionist or you ask some of these individuals that actually condone this practice. What if we killed the individual? Are they part of the group that's not allowed to live? What if we killed the individual that found the cure for some of these diseases we hear about all the time? It's hard to answer that question, obviously, because we put our faith in God and we understand He's got everything with a purpose. But this is amazing that we just go through our lives allowing, I've heard people say it, accepting, basically, they're accepting this entire concept of it's okay to eliminate these small children that shed innocent blood. We go back to Proverbs 6 and 16. Proverbs 6 and 16. I want to cover it again. Verse number 17. Hands that shed innocent blood. How much thought do we put into that concept? That God, 6 things I hate, 7 are an abomination to Him. He's not saying, He's questioning it. This condition obviously will never take place in the world tomorrow. How different will that world be? Isaiah 1 and verse number 13. Isaiah 1 and verse 13. Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbath, they call assemblies. I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even their solemn meetings. Verse number 14. Your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me, and I am weary to them that bear them. Verse 15. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yet ye make many prayers, and I will not hear. Notice what it says. For your hands are full of blood. Innocent and well-preserved items that we look at on the surface are called good. And we know to God, these are abominations. Not even close to good. This is one thing, obviously, it's going to be changed. You know, how many, you know, you got to ask, how is Planned Parenthood funded? It'll just irritate anybody that actually studies this. You know, the financial records show that nonprofit Planned Parenthood received more taxpayer dollars in the fiscal year ending last June, this last June, than ever before. They received $617 million through Medicaid and other health service program reimbursements and grants, constituting 37% of all its revenue. Taxpayer $617 million of revenue, basically about $2 billion. That's to eliminate the fetus. That is taxpayer-funded procedure. And this is not going to be the case in the world tomorrow, obviously. Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same rules will apply in the world tomorrow that we get from his word today, right? What he taught. You're looking at how precious was a child when Christ put him in the midst of the adults, when they say. Let's turn to Proverbs. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. We all are very familiar with this verse. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Catechize. Train up is catechize. And this is going to be the philosophy, obviously, in the world tomorrow. Will there be new births in the world tomorrow? Isaiah 61:65, obviously, there will. And Isaiah, book of Isaiah 65, in verse number 17, behold, and I create a new heavens and new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor shall come to mind. Verse number 20, shall be no more thence an infant of days, or an old man that hath not filled his days. I mean, from that time. Look at this time period we're talking about. And for the child shall die 100 years old, and the sinner shall, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. What does that mean? No more thence the infant days. That is, there shall no more, they shall no more be carried out thence from Jerusalem or other place where the Church of God is to the grave in the order to be interned. An infant that has lived but a few days, a very common thing now, but in the latter days, such instances will be rare, or rather, there will not be, they will not be at all. Every child born shall live to the age of a man. What a difference we see today. Today you have people that proclaim abortions are a good thing. Bernie Sanders, I'll get to that quote right now. Bernie Sanders stated, abortion and population control are important parts of addressing climate change. That's an exact quote. How will that element be viewed in the world tomorrow? How many people will actually share that view? How sick of a mind comes out of that view? They're attacking just one element. How different is it going to be? You're not going to see what you see today. It's going to be not be allowed, obviously. You're going to see an infant become a man. Go back to Galatians 5:20. It also talks about witchcraft. How many ways does this world edify and condone witchcraft or sorcery? And I just bring that up because when you go through Galatians 19 through 21 or 22, ask yourself, how many times or how many elements in that segment do we just read in the paper or read online or watch the news story and it just goes by? Does it no longer vexes us anymore? Is that pleasing? I went and started looking some stuff up, and it really, I didn't go that deep. I didn't think about how deep or permeated is this has become, which influences our society. But when you think about it, I'm going to go through a couple of scenarios here. Have you ever heard of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs? Have you ever heard of Fantasia, Cinderella, Peter Pan, Sleeping Beauty, The Sword in the Stone, Mary Poppins, Bedknobs and Broomsticks, Escape to Witch Mountain, Freaky Friday, The Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Hocus Pocus, The Lion King, Pocahontas, Mulan, The Chronicles of Narnia, Enchanted, The Sorcerer's Apprentice, Frozen, Maleficent, Into the Woods, Doctor Strange, Moana, all Disney movies for children. I can't emphasize that those last two words enough. These are all Disney movies for children. All of these movies are deeply involved with sorcery or some type of witchcraft. Everything I just mentioned. Does a society condone this behavior? Just a couple things to ask. How about, have you ever heard of Harry Potter, The Wizard of Oz, The Sorcerer's Stone, The Craft, Blair Witch Project, Rosemary's Baby, The Exorcist, The Witches of Eastwick, Practical Magic, Star Wars, The Omen? It's so enveloped in our society that we don't even think about it. It just goes through the process. God calls this an abomination, this type of mindset. How far off will it be? Or how much different is it going to be in the world tomorrow? You talk about the period of time these days represent are just out, just no concept of what's coming. They'll be so glorious. And you hear about it. We've read this last week. The trees will be singing. You think about the difference when righteous rulers lead rather than unrighteous rulers. Again, I don't want to beat this to death, but I'm going to mention this as well. In our normal lives, I mean normal TV, how many people have heard of Bewitched, Charmed, Salem, Sabrina, the Teenage Witch? You know I can go on. Etc. How many cleave to the concept of the witch and its acceptance? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Think about that statement. What does the Bible tell us about witchcraft? How is it going to be when they're not able to sacrifice on the hills? They're not able to go to these dark corners. There's not going to be demons or Satan himself to sacrifice to. Think about a world where you're going to have all this removed. That's just unbelievable. And the point in time that is coming is unbelievable. Something to very much look forward to. Turn to Micah 5. In verse number 12, Micah 5 and verse 12, what does he say? I will cut off their sorceries from your land, and you will have fortune tellers no more. How many people look forward to fortune telling? I mean, we have so many in our area, in Portland, Oregon. It's amazing. I just amazed on how many people or how they stay in business, basically. Apparently, there's people that go to them, obviously. Deuteronomy 18. in verse number 10. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 10. And there shall be found no more among you anything that maketh his son or daughter pass through the fire, or you, that uses divination, or observer of times, an enchanter, or a witch. This is Old Testament. It's not going to be any different in the world tomorrow. That's not going to be tolerated. Or a charmer, or consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. You're talking to the dead, all these popular shows, The Walking Dead, you get all these. I mean, I can continue, as I said, how many times over? Vampire Diaries. I mean, just insane how out of the world. You get people like Sarah Winchester with Winchester Mystery House. I mean, I grew up in the San Jose area, and I couldn't believe that house. It was just spooky, to say the least. They had stairways just going to the roof, because they believed the spirits could walk through them. Just this world, which these days represent, all this is going to be removed. How great is it going to be? I mean, definitely something that we need to think about. Verse number 12, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because these abominations to the Lord, thy God, to drive them out before thee. Will they be driven out in the world tomorrow? They're not going to be. These demons will be in restraint. And this demonic spirit, is going to be in restraint. Think about the difference on what we are preserving now. Leviticus 20. In verse number 27, Leviticus 20 and verse number 27, and a man and a woman that hath a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, surely shall be put to death, and they shall stone them, and their blood shall be upon them. Think about how many people are craving or desiring to get that gift of necromancing or talking to the dead. This is a situation that's going to come to fruition at God's return. It's going to end. Think about the world that's going to be ushered in when you're not going to have this type of orientation. Leviticus 19 and verse 31. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord, your God. You know, do not look for these items. You know, 2 Kings, we can continue. But how many times does the Old Testament law tell us this isn't going to be, this shouldn't be a desired practice. This is something we shouldn't be participating in. But how many times do we watch these shows? How many times do we go after this concept and we reflect it? I mean, talk about embedding it in someone's mind when they go after it to our children and convert, or they talk to the children. I mean, Little Mermaid, you're talking about the witch and the Little Mermaid. I mean, just how many indoctrinations can you have as a child, which are just, they call good. We know directly. God calls them an abomination. They're not good. How many religions actually make that statement? 2 Kings 17 in verse number 16. 2 Kings 17, verse 16. And they left all the commandments of the Lord, their God. And they made molten images, even two calves. And they made a grove, and they worshipped all the host of heaven. And they served Baal. And they caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire, and used divination and enchantments, sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord. to provoke him to anger. Think about a world tomorrow. This is going to not be a tolerated vestige. This isn't going to be authorized. God's not going to put up with it. Or he's not going to allow it. You're going to be part of that government. If you're practicing or letting this mindset, if you're numb to this mindset now, you're going to teach it in the world tomorrow. How different is that from what you're hearing from any other religion, almost every other religion? Revelation 9. Revelation 9 and verse number 21. Well, let's start in verse number 20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, that they neither can see nor hear nor walk. Verse number 21. Neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, or their fornication, or their thefts. It's a way of life in so many circles today. And we see it. And we see it accepted. And if you don't accept it, you're the odd one out. This is not of God. It's not of the God we serve. It's definitely of the God of this earth. And they're serving, notice the demonic influences they're serving. All these individuals are going to be in Tartaru. They're going to be in a place of restraint called hell in some facets. That's going to be different, isn't it? Revelation 9, verse 21. Neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor fornications, nor the thefts. That's the point. Exodus 22 and verse number 18. Simply stated, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. You know, hailed is a great thing now. Won't be seen in the world tomorrow. Think about the difference. Bring this to a close. Next point. How about adultery and fornication? Galatians 5:21. You know, the penalty. Interesting, I was looking things up, obviously. I didn't know off the top of my head, but I found it interesting. The penalty for adultery in the state of Virginia, it ranges from a small fine to 5 years in prison. Judge's discretion. In Mississippi, it is no more than a $500 fine or 6 months in jail. In Arizona, it is a class three misdemeanor. Florida, 2 months in jail. And up to $500 fine. Kansas, Illinois, Massachusetts, Oklahoma, Idaho, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Utah, New York, Georgia, South Carolina, and North Carolina. Adultery is illegal and has a penalty. How many people knew that? Interesting concept. And then there's Maryland. I got to throw this in. Maryland, or adultery carries a fine of $10. You have to pay $10. How much different is it going to be in the world tomorrow? Let's turn to the book of Mark. Mark 7 and verse number 15. Mark 7 and verse 15. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are what defile a man. Think about what is being stated here by Christ. What is coming out of the man is the defiling subject. As we look at this, we drop down to verse number 18. And then he saith unto them, are ye so without understanding? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without enter into a man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out into the draught, the purging of all meats. Verse number 20, and he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart, proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come out from within. Those are what defile the man. How many people get that? It comes from the heart. And this is what, how many psychologists, as you say, how many rehabilitators miss the mark? Let's turn to Matthew 5:27. Matthew 5:27. Ye have heard from old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Think about how Christ elevated this. Are you in perfect control of your mind? And that's the point. How far do we fall? But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh upon a woman and lusteth after her hath already committed adultery with her in his heart. Just to think it. That's what is talking about elevated status. How many individuals fail this test every day? Ephesians 5 and verse number 3. But fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as you become saints. But fornication and all uncleanness, think about that. Obviously, we're going to have to come before God. In contrast, this won't be very long, in contrast, as I said, this is the... We can go through all these points, can't we? And do, as I said, a whole sermon. But this is the negative part. Look at the positive part that's coming. You know, God's world tomorrow. This is positive as well. These things, these elements won't be tolerated in God's world tomorrow. You know, as it says, if you don't come before him, right? There will be no rain. And the plagues will be added. You know what? If you don't come down to Jerusalem every year, you can't live in a godly society and not and continually be ungodly. Today, we are drawing through the merge and the muck, and we are trying to live godly lives, but we get drawn into that every day, don't we? And that's the point. Talk about the difference. Isaiah 9, verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom with order, and to establish it with judgment and with justice henceforth, ever, forever, and ever. And the zeal of the Lord will perform this. He will rule with righteousness and judgment. Matthew 28:18 says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Matthew 28:18. Are we to live understanding this? All power is given. Christ is going to return, and he is going to establish his government on this world tomorrow. And these days, which we're living in right now, we're participating in right now, represent that. How great is that time period going to be? Let's go to Galatians 5, final verses today. Galatians 5 Galatians 5. And I just want to mention, before we get into 22 to 26, all these idolatry, hatred, wrath, strife, heresies. You think about God's world tomorrow. We will be pushing all of us, which are going to be rulers and kings in the world tomorrow. We'll be pushing for a righteous government, not what we see today. Not the elements that we see today. How different is that in that point? Galatians 5:22. I just want to go through this. How about living in this situation that's coming? Living within this type of mindset. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, self-control, in other words. Against such is there no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. As we're to live as he lived. The world hasn't been called yet, but someday all will know or be given a chance at this way of life, what we understand. But today, are we enamored with the ways, saying that way, are we enamored with the ways of the world where they call evil things good and men are just allowed to be elevated above certain stature? All of these pagan symbols, all these demonic worship, all these idols that are just case in point out there in the world. The temples, all these places on high ground, burning incense, all of the items. We compromise our ethics, we covet. There will be a change in character. Is it not long desired? Along with so many other items, abortion, fornication, demonic worship, it'll all be removed. This, I'll speak on this next sermon, but this is definitely the concept that was put before us and the way of life that we've been given. You know, make sure we live with those principles as we're going through this week, and make sure we insert those principles in our daily living. To be servants in the world tomorrow, we're to be practicing it, not just stating it.